Please turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 8. You know, there's times that we all need a little help walking. Anybody ever needed help walking before? We get dizzy at times. There was actually a period of my life, it took about a year, that I was dizzy every day. We get injured after surgery. I remember I had in the year 2000, I had a spinal decompression infusion surgery, and I had to use a walker to get around, and so it took me about 2 weeks before I could kind of get up on my own. And so we need a little help. You know, we understand that there's times we need a little help walking, right? Well, that's also true spiritually. And the beauty of where we're at in our series on the Holy Spirit is we've broken this into a subsection of two parts of how the Holy Spirit helps us to walk. And we're going to look at His ministry to us past salvation, because we looked at salvation, and now we're going to look at how He works with us on the here and now. And so it's an exciting time. You know, and as we move into this morning, we're going to be looking at how the Holy Spirit helps Christians to walk, and we're going to discover that He's praying for us. We're going to discover that He convicts us of sin and communicates with us about who we are. And so we're going to pick up in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 26 and 27. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word, and Father, we thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to us in our walk as Your children. And Father, I pray as we move through this study that You'll begin to speak to us and You'll begin to remind us of the things that You've showed us in Scripture. And Father, I pray that we will move, if we're not already there, into an everyday communication with You. Not because we have to, but because we get to. And so, Father, I pray that You will speak to each one of us this morning what You have for each one of us. Thank You for all that You've done. Thank You for who You are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we see from this verse that the Holy Spirit prays for us. But there's a couple things in here that stood out to me that we can draw, that we can learn from this particular verse. One thing we find out is we don't know how to pray as we should. We don't know how to pray as we should. The disciples actually recognized the same thing and asked Jesus to teach them to pray. We don't know how to pray. Teach us to pray. In Luke 11, 1 is where they said that to Him. And so we don't know how to pray as we ought to, and Jesus asked them to teach Him. So that's an interesting observation here. So it makes me wonder about the prayers that I've sent up, about whether or not they have fallen short of the things that I ought to be praying about. But here's the beauty. The Holy Spirit makes up the difference. The Holy Spirit knows exactly what Mark needs, and Mark doesn't even know what Mark needs sometimes. And the Holy Spirit intercedes on my behalf with groanings which can't be uttered, which we will revisit this verse when we get to our section on tongues, because this is the premier verse of people who talk about speaking in tongues. And to give you a little foreshadowing, They use that for the mumbo-jumbo language that they spew out, but it right here says that it cannot be uttered. So whatever they're uttering isn't what the Holy Spirit is saying. It violates the Scripture in that fact. That's just a preview of things to come. So He prays for us, and He speaks to the Father on our behalf. We learn that the weakness related to our prayer life identified here is not the absence of it, because He's talking about them praying. It's not the absence of it, it's the lack of understanding of what God's will is for our lives. How often do we spend time praying for things that are not the will of God? And then we want to lay the blame at the feet of God for not answering. And never asking God, what is your will in this? What are you doing in this? You know, the president of the seminary I went to made a comment in his office one time. I was in his office. I was talking with him and his secretary. And he made this comment, and I thought, that is significant. He says, so often we pray to be delivered from the storm when the storm was sent to deliver us. And we don't ever ask God what work the storm is doing in our lives. We just think that God's job is to make everything okay and peaceable, and we're fine, you're fine, I'm fine, we're all okay, and that means we're right with God. If being fine and not having any problems means that we're right with God, then Paul was not right with God. Then Peter was not right with God. When we look at these great men of the faith, they faced persecution. We learned this morning from Don that if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you will face persecution. And so if we follow Him and do what we're supposed to do, then the world will be against us. You know, we think about persecution only as physical. But persecution comes in many, many ways. And it comes against us as we try to stand for Christ. How often do we spend time in prayer for the things we want and never take time to discover what He wants for us? How many times does God speak to you in prayer? You know, I had a really cool moment this week. I was sharing with Stephen earlier during prayer time this morning that he had asked me a question about 6 months ago, and I didn't want to just spout off some quick answer. You know, he asked, he says, why does New Life exist? Why are we here? What is our calling? Why would people go here versus any other church? And when I went to answer from a casual standpoint, the Lord stopped me. And I said, and I knew that I had to wait on Him. And one day this week, I woke up and the Lord said, hey, you remember that prayer that you've been praying about that Stephen asked you? Here's the answer. And He just laid it out. And I was like, oh. And I just sat quietly and listened, because He was talking to me in prayer. And then as soon as He finished, I got a pencil and paper and wrote as fast as I could. And so it's a very exciting time. I'll be sharing that shortly with you guys. Very exciting how this is gonna unfold. That makes us different in our calling in this world different. I'll tell you the one thing that I know that's here is there's a genuine love for God and His Word and one another. Mm-hmm. And I've been in churches that it was just service and there wasn't a real move of the Spirit of God in the lives of His people. And I see that here on a regular basis, which is very cool. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, Jesus is the only religious leader who ever lived that wanted less people. You know, He sent the multitudes away and took the 12. Right? And so, and today we register success by how big we are. And I always ask people, where would you like me to measure that? They always want to measure it by seating capacity. I would rather have heart capacity. Right? Isn't that where God judges from? Why have we gotten so far away from what God wants to being controlled and conformed by the world? we're almost, and Don hit it this morning, and it struck me, is we've grown conflict adverse. But the other side hasn't. That's the rest of the story. They welcome it. They seek it. They think it's a badge of honor to fight. And we're going to soon be in a position in this nation that if we don't stand for what we believe, that we're going to just wash in. We're not going to be a light. You know, you can't show hope if you don't experience it personally, and that's where the heart matters. And you're not walking and living it and experiencing what Paul was talking about in Timothy, but I've seen God deliver me through all that. I've seen Him come through. You know, somebody who's watched the hand of God, when something else comes along like that, they're like, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. God will deliver. They know it because they've been down that road. I've seen God deliver and deliver and deliver for me time and time and time and time and time again. I have no doubt that He can handle anything that comes my way if it's His will. And it's not the storm meant to deliver me from something. And so we have to be careful. The weakness is that we're not praying the will of God, because it talks about here that He's praying the will of God for us. And so I think the takeaway here is, Lord, may my prayers align with Your will, and may I enjoin with the Holy Spirit in what He's praying for me. And if it's hard, Lord, please make sure You're there to comfort me as I go through that. But what I've found is if somebody truly loves the Lord, even when it's hard, and they learn something and they're learning through it, although we don't want to do it again, we're thankful to God for it. Because we're truly in love with Him. And so the Holy Spirit prays for us. The Holy Spirit's prayers are for you are in line with God's will. Listen, alignment and acceptance, not certain outcome. I've been wondering if that ought to be our prayer. Alignment and acceptance of the will of God versus, Lord, would You do this? Would You do this? Would You do this? And so we talked about how the Holy Spirit set us apart, how He saved us, how He sanctified us and set us apart for ministry. And now He's interceding for us. To praying the will of God, now that we're His children, for our lives. He wants God's best for you. How many of you, don't raise your hands on this one. How many of you have ever felt the impression of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit speaking to you about something you didn't want to do? I'll raise my hand. It happens a lot. And the problem is because I'm not on the same page. But I'm either going to listen and submit. Sometimes we're just oblivious too, aren't we? We're just going through life. We're just making our way. It's little Johnny's birthday, and we've got this to take care of. We've got work. We're going to get off late, and something happens, and it throws it even later. And we got all these things. We've got a commitments with the family, and everybody's frustrated. You get home and everybody's rushing around. You ever been rushing around and you kind of bite and snap at somebody? Has that ever happened to anybody? That never happens. Okay. Don't ask Terry about that. It happens. How many of you are grumpier when you're tired? Oh. Terrence says the mama three. Yeah. When we're tired, you better not pick a fight now because it's on, sister. Right, I mean? Right? That's terrible, but it's true. And so we have to, I mean, that life happens. And the sad thing is it sometimes happens without the direction or the leading of the Spirit of God. That's why we need help in our walk.
That's why he prays for us. Because we get so busy with this thing. And the world will fill your time. It will fill your time. I can't tell you, I mean, how often, how much time do we spend just, here we go, now I'm going to get into trouble. How much time do we spend on games on our phone? Yeah, I got into trouble. Confession is good for the soul, Matthew. That's terrible. Matthew, happy birthday, Matthew. Matthew just had a birthday. Him and Dave just had a birthday. Dave's got a birthday coming. Dave went to Chuck E. Cheese for his birthday, for his 36th birthday. Thanks for sharing. I'm sure I'll pay for that. I have no idea what we're talking about. Right. The Holy Spirit prays for us when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. And so, thank you. And so, that's one of the things that we see that come with His ministry to us. But we also discover that the Holy Spirit convicts of sin, or He convicts us of sin. John 16, verses 5 through 11, says this, "But now I am going," now this is Jesus speaking, "I am going to Him who sent me, and none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." Which I can imagine that. Imagine, He said, "Come follow me." They left their jobs, they left everything behind. He was crucified, He's alive again. I mean, that alone would be like, what? You know, if you didn't fully get it, which I'm not sure they did. I'm not even sure we fully get it. And He says, "Now I'm leaving." You're going, what? Where are you going? And they're sorrowful in their heart. And Jesus is reading their heart. Isn't that interesting? "But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." And so Jesus here begins to encourage the disciples who were sad about His departure by explaining the benefits of His departure. "It's a good thing for you that I'm out of here. It's a good thing that I'm leaving. It's a good thing that I'm going back to the Father. It's a good thing, and you're all sad about it, but you don't get it." I think that goes back to the other verse. That's why the Holy Spirit prays for us. Because we don't get it sometimes. Maybe a lot of the time. He says this to them. He tells them the Helper is coming. See, Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to help us in our walk. He could have said, "I'm sending the Holy Spirit," couldn't He? It would have been true. He could have said, "I'm sending the third person of the Trinity," and they would have said, "Huh?" He could have said, "I'm sending the Holy Ghost." But He said, "I'm sending the Helper. I'm sending the Helper. I'm sending someone to help you." Because here's the deal. He knows we need help. He knows we need help. We always say this all the time. Jesus, that God gives us everything we need, right? And here He tells us He's sending the Helper. He tells them the Helper is coming to help us with our walk. And He talks about the things that He's going to do. And He says He's going to convict the world. Listen. Conviction is the challenge to change your direction. And I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Conviction is not feeling bad and feeling lousy about something you did or who you are. That's condemnation. Conviction leads you into the hope of everything that could be if you were rightly aligned with Christ. Because the Holy Spirit's not going to come along and expect you to follow Him when He goes, "How terrible are you? and you're a pastor,
would you want to be around that person?
We'd go the other way. What a rotten scoundrel you are. Well, I need to go bless somebody out. That's a little bit of my southern talk.
That's what we call it. Bless your heart.
That's from my time in Georgia.
Bless your heart is a code word.
Well, I need to bless them out because they didn't do the right thing, or they didn't tell me about it. They, you know what? You're not called to that. That is your flesh, ladies and gentlemen. That is your flesh. Our ministry to one another is encouragement and love. And if Stephen drops the ball, it is not my job to go bless Stephen out. It's my job to go put my arm through Stephen's arm, tell him I love him. And if there's something we need to talk about it together as we march together. Because Stephen's going to do that for me, and he's very gentle about it. And he has done it. Thank God he's done it. Because Stephen's got a lot of work to do. But that's how it works. You know, if James misses a slide, I don't go bless James out. I thank God I've got somebody running the slides. And he missed one, but so what? He's like, and I'm going to tell you what's going on right now. James going, I missed one? Did I miss one? Because James cares. Because he cares what he's doing. But he convicts us of sin. And when Christ works, when the Holy Spirit works on us and brings conviction, he basically says, the choices you made caused you to miss out on this. And I may feel bad because I missed out on that. Not because of who I am or because I'm a bad person. Because the Bible says that when you're in Christ Jesus, you're a saint. See, we all believe that we've all heard the old song that we'll never sing here. Of I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Because that's a lie. You're not just a sinner saved by grace. You once were a sinner, now you're saved. You once were a child of the enemy, now you're a child of the King. You've been set apart and sanctified, and you have the ability to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit every moment of every day. And to believe anything less is to give excuse and allow yourself the room to sin. Because the truth is, that's all been dealt with. That's why he convicts us of it, because he doesn't want us to miss out on the best that God has planned for us. And so when conviction comes, don't let the enemy slide into that and go, oh, you're awful. You're terrible. How could I have done that? Don't listen to that voice, because that's not the voice of God. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. And he talks about sin as the lack of faith in Christ. Isn't that interesting? When we don't trust Christ naturally, we turn to our own devices and attempt to live this life, and it don't work. Isn't that interesting what it says here? We want to list sin as all the actions that we do, but that's not what it says. When you don't trust Christ in the situation, that's sin. And that leads to other behaviors that flow out of a lack of faith, which is the sin. Y'all follow me? Y'all are giving me that look again. Don't give me that look that lengthens the sermon. That's horrible. That's horrible. That's horrible. You know, that's why preachers wear watches. You know that, right? To give the people hope. That's awful. Can we just... So he convicts us of sin and our lack of faith. That's the bottom line. The only reason that we sin is it's a lack of faith. We're not trusting or walking with him. Because we would know exactly what he wanted in that moment, and we would engage in it. That's the direction. He convicts them of righteousness because Jesus left. See, the Holy Spirit's conviction of righteousness is God's accountability for us to live out the plan God has for us. He's saying, this is it. He convicts you of the fact that you're already righteous. We're not righteous by what we do. That's self-righteousness. We have the imputed righteousness of God. And so the Holy Spirit will tell you, you are righteous. You already are complete in Christ. We talk about that, how we're complete in Christ. But then when we talk about our lives, we talk about it like we're not. If I'm complete in Christ, I truly am. And either I'm going to draw on that, or I'm going to draw on my flesh. I want to choose with you, locking arms, because we're going to... There it is. I did it. We don't have to trip. I almost said it. That's how I know this stuff is true, because I do it too. I almost said it. Well, because you ever said that? Well, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to continue to fail. We're all going to sin sometimes. You ever heard that before? That's an excuse to continue doing it. It's an excuse. Do I ever have to sin again? We're getting the look again. All right? Do I have the ability to walk in the Spirit? Yes. Can I sin while I'm doing that? So do I have the ability to walk and not sin? Absolutely. That frightens us because we let certain things go. Well, that's just the way I am. You ever heard that one? I had somebody tell me that while they were yelling at me. It's just the way I am. Like, no, rudeness is not the way you are. It's a choice. Everything in life is a choice. You're not an accident. It's a choice. If I choose to put my foot on the floor when I'm going down Potty Lane, that's a choice. We don't just fall into things. So listen, the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin and righteousness and judgment. See, the enemy will like to tell you how alive and how powerful he is and want to try to cause you to fear him. And I'm going to say this. I think sometimes we fear the devil more than we fear God. We're like, I don't want to face the devil. We do Bugs Bunny. Do the young kids even know who Bugs Bunny is anymore? They're like, who's that? But God, well, God is just loving. He would never hurt anyone. We fear those who can hurt us, right? God's not going to hurt you, but I'll tell you this, the enemy got no power over God. God is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-omnipresent. He's 100% love, he's 100% light, but he's also just. And if you want to know how painful sin is to him, and how much it hurts the heart of God, look at the cross. Man, we hear the story of the cross so often that it becomes this casual story we tell. I guarantee you, there was nothing casual about the cross to Jesus. When you're sweating drops of blood, that ain't casual, folks. I was thinking about that this morning and almost broke down. Well, what Jesus did for me, he had to go because of me. That's awful. The enemy has been dealt with. We do not need to live defeated lives as Christians. We don't. The Holy Spirit helps us so discouragement doesn't cause us to wander from the life that God has planned for us. Because it will. Discouragement.
It is one of the biggest enemies of life in Christ. It's the biggest enemies of our testimony. You ever felt like God let you down? We don't want to admit that, but there's times we've prayed and God didn't really answer the way we thought, right? Or we tried, we did it right and it still turned out bad. Where was God? How do you make sense of some of the things that happen in this world? How can two people be in the same car and have one walk away and one lose their life in an accident? Does it make sense? And we get discouraged in our walk. Or we're truly walking with God and the world is coming against us and we try to bear it alone. And that's a heavy weight to carry. And if we stop trying and start trusting, the burden comes off. Because he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We ought to do a study on that. We'd have to find an ox we can bring in here. James, don't go find me an ox. So the Holy Spirit convicts us, but he also does this. He also bears witness to us. Romans 8, 15 and 16 says this. For if you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. And so he bears witness to us. The Holy Spirit is communicating to you. He's talking to you. Well, I've never heard him. He's talking to you. I'm telling you, based upon this verse, the Holy Spirit is attempting to speak to you. He bears witness to us. When we bear witness to something, we tell them. We tell somebody. Yeah, I saw the car run over the other car in the intersection. We bear witness. A witness tells what he saw. And so the Holy Spirit is telling us what he saw. He's telling, bears witness to us. But he bears witness, and look at what he saw. He talks about our relationship with God. He bears witness to us that we are children. That we're God's children. That we're in a relationship with the God who created this whole world. He said, let there be light, and it existed. We have such a small view of God. Anybody here ever been to the beach? Bible says that God holds the waters of the earth in the hollow of his hand. And I don't know about you, but I've tried to get water and he can't hold that much. But that little bit is held by the hand of God. We have a very small God, and I think that's part of why we struggle in our journey. But you're his children. The enemy would like to tell you you're not, that you're only good when you do certain things. But you're a child of God. You walk with him. You have the opportunity to walk with him. He tells us about our resources. He tells us that we're heirs. Listen. There's nothing like being an heir. There's nothing like being an heir. I actually am friends with the people who are heir that the government bought the land that Valley Forge is on. They have an incredible inheritance coming. They're heirs. There's billionaires all across America. We have children with heirs. And we call Michael Dell or we call some of these other guys and say, hey, are you adopting? Isn't that interesting?
you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you received a spirit of adoption as sons. Guess what? All those people we think of, who's the Microsoft guy? Gates.
Bill Gates.
Did you know Bill Gates has no money? The earth and the fullness thereof belong to him. He doesn't have anything. He's a steward over some of it. You better get it right. Because listen, you can be made and lost in no time. God is the one who preserves the bottom of the can. We think about money and all this stuff, and you know what?
I would rather be a child of the King. My goal is to die broke because I gave it all away.
Let's give it away for the glory of God. Let's invest in heaven. Let's do the right thing. Our resources, we're heirs. Listen, if you need something, God's not going to give you a stone when you need a piece of bread. As somebody who's needed bread before, I've watched him deliver. I've given up 80% of my income before to follow the Lord. 80%, not 10%. 80. You know what? I'm going to tell you the story. This makes absolutely no sense. And I'm going to show you all my weaknesses in this. Karen and I worked for Yellow Pages for a while. We were making good income. We were obedient to God financially. And he called me to school. And we left all of that to make $250 a week. That's all I was making. $250. I mean, how many of you guys could live on $250 a week? I'm going to tell you how many. All of you could if God called you to. It's a trick question. And so we moved halfway across the country. We're at church the first Sunday, and all the youth are there. They go, "Let's go to lunch." And I'm thinking, "With what?" And Terry's like, "I think we should go." And I'm like, "Okay." And we go to lunch, and all the kids are sitting there. And Terry leans over, and she says, "I think we should pay for this." And I'm thinking, "I'm going to pay for mine, let alone all this." And being this spiritual giant that I am, I leaned back over to her. I said, "Did God tell you that?" And she leans back and she said, "Yes." And I said, "Okay." And the bill was $53, I remember to this day. That was Sunday. We had just moved. We'd been there a week. When we moved, we turned in our little forwarding thing and all that. You know, the day we leave, you send it in. 5 years before that, I had worked for IBM. And IBM had a suggestion program that if you wrote a suggestion that they implemented, you would get 25% of the savings. And if it was like a safety or health thing, it was $50. So we used that as a part-time job, and we worked there. I don't know, it was at IBM. And you get a first year and a second year. Now, I'd been gone 5 years. I just moved halfway across the country. Monday, I walked out to the mailbox, and there was a $50 check in there from a safety suggestion I'd written over 5 years ago. Only God can do that, folks. And so if you wonder, how can I make it? I'm going to wonder how you can't make it. How can you make it by keeping the stuff that belongs to him? It's all his, folks. It's all his. There's nothing in this that is about... You know what was about us? The only thing that was about me was when he created me and when he died for me. That was about me. And you're not nothing, because Jesus doesn't die for nothing. You have tremendous value. And when he fills you with the Spirit of God, it completely changes you. The Holy Spirit also bears witness to us of our hope. See, he says, if we suffer, we'll be glorified. If you suffer, you're going to be glorified in it. You know, if everything's going right, listen, did Jesus do it perfectly? It's not a trick question this time. Yes, he did. He did everything perfect, and they murdered him. When God created Adam and Eve, did he do it perfectly? Was he the perfect parent? Did they blow it? Yep. God does it perfectly. Every time. And so, no matter what, if we suffer, we're going to be glorified. And so don't not choose Him because of the suffering. Choose Him because He loves you. Choose Him because He gave His life for you. See, God established an open communication channel with us. We need to take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. It is not... You know, they I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but they sell cell phones. You can, like, pay for it at one price, put some minutes on it, that you can use for, like, 911. Or if you get in trouble. It's like an emergency phone. Right? That should not be our prayer life. We need to pray about this. Something terrible just happened. Lord, how did this... And He's like, yeah, I haven't heard from you in like a year and a half. How you doing? How you doing, Mark? Insert your name here. How many of you just pray and say, thank you for being long-suffering? Thank you for being love. Thank you. If you want to say anything, I'm listening. I don't need anything. I'm just here because I love you. You know what? Let's have that prayer. Right? Or let's pray for the lost. Let's kind of agree. God's already working. We heard testimonies earlier at prayer time how God's starting to work in the lives of these folks up here. Amen. You think your prayers don't matter? Thank God for you, Luis, coming up here and praying for these names. We ought to all be down here praying for the lost. You want to talk about who we're supposed to be? So what are our takeaways today? Listen, if the Holy Spirit believes in prayer, that prayer for us is important, how important should it be for us to pray for one another? That's something that God Himself is doing for us. Shouldn't that be important to us too? They might think something's wrong with me. Listen, I already know something's wrong with you, so just get over that. If you're breathing, something's wrong with you. Because I know stuff's wrong with me. The enemy will try to use this idea of perfection to keep us from really being vulnerable before God. So we use the phrase, I'll pray for you all the time. And have you ever said that to somebody and then either forgot or didn't do it? I think we need to say, when we say that, we need to take that as a divine responsibility. You know what I would rather do? I'll tell you this, and I'm going to get in trouble here. And I know I am. I would rather start service late because people are praying for one another all over the sanctuary. Because somebody said, I'm struggling, and they said, let's pray now. Grab their hand and pray now. Because if God is moving in that way, He's in control here. Amen?
Amen.
You better do better than that.
Amen.
God is in control here, right?
Amen.
All right. And if He wants to start at 11:15, that's when we're going to start. But we're not going to do that just because we're lazy either. God is also God of order. I know I'm getting in trouble with Stephen. Not really. Stephen's heart is completely sold out to the Lord. And I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
And I'm glad to do ministry with a man like Stephen. What a joy it is. All of, I mean, many of you. I could name everybody in here, really, to be honest with you. And so, the Holy Spirit believes in prayer. We ought to, too. Here's the, man, this was really hard this week on me, so here you go. Are you responsive to conviction? Do you respond to it? Or do you just go, oh, yeah, that's true. Okay. Do we do that, or do we receive the point of the conviction? Are we responsive to it? Many times we see conviction as God taking away conviction. something we want instead of clearing the way so He can bless us with His will in our lives. You want that? You want me to give that up? You want me to give that up? I was sharing Christ with somebody, and they said, do I have to give up my Harley? And I said, to me. I said, no, I didn't say that. That's not true. I said, you have to be willing to give it up. You have to be willing. And the guy looked at me and he said, I'm not willing. And he walked away. And we all do that, don't we? What are we not willing to give up? What is Mark not willing to give? God, not that. You ever been convicted by God and go, oh, not that, not that. That's not hurting anybody. You ever said that about sin in your life? That's not hurting anybody. We love to play that card. You think so? Let me ask you something. You think if I had sin that I let fester in my life, it wouldn't affect you? It absolutely would affect you. Or it might even affect how I interact with somebody that God has something for them. But we believe the lie of the enemy that it's not hurting anybody. It's not hurting anybody. It's just me. It absolutely is hurting somebody. And so are you responsive to conviction? It gets worse. Are you willing to have a conversation with God on any subject? Not that! Are you willing to be honest with Him? Have you tried to kind of talk your way out of things with God before? Well, God, it's, you know, this way. And I mean, I could just see God up there in heaven sometimes going, maybe He doesn't make that face, but He does in my mind sometimes. Are you willing to listen to Him? Listen, God thought communication was so important that He gave us the Bible, that the Holy Spirit prays for us, and He still wants to communicate with us directly. He thought it was that important. He wrote it down. And He does, I'll tell you this, He does not hold back on any subject. It's all in here. And so the question is, are you willing to take advantage of this opportunity? You know, I read the story this week about this woman who was bitten by a rabid dog. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, yeah, it's bad, you've got it, and you're past the point of help. He says, so I will get your affairs in order. And so she grabbed the tablet of paper, and she starts writing feverishly. He's like, wow, that's some will that you're penciling out there. And she said, will nothing. This is all the people I'm going to bite. I want to tell you something, folks. We have not been called to bite other people. We've been called to bless them. We've been called to be there for them. To weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. We've been called to share the truth with love. We've been called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've been called to persecution when we stand and do those things. We've been called to miss out on some things that other people would say, yeah, that you do that, but you didn't get it because you stood for Jesus. We've been called into a relationship with Him where He communicates with us and we communicate back with Him. We have to do this the right way, His way, the way that's true, and not compromise the stuff that's popular, the stuff that's kitschy, and because God, He gets all that stuff. He knows. And the enemy would do anything to keep us out of living the relationship that God had created us for. We think salvation is a decision. Salvation is a person. Well, I prayed and received Christ and now I'm saved. And we think the job is done. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. The journey, He's saving you from these things that have worked their way into your life. That's part of salvation. We're being renewed in our mind, Romans 12, by the washing of the Word. And it's a joy if you're truly His child. It's not, I'm getting corrected again. We call them spiritual owies. We need to hand out new life bandages. That's what we should do. You know what? God's interacting with us and He's doing that for His glory. I'm in. Just as I am, all to the O. Not that. Let's call it out. I call it out in my life too. It's not. We believe in two-way streets here. Listen. He has given you the Holy Spirit. He is praying earnestly that you would be in alignment with the will of God. He is convicting you of sin so that you can be in the will of God. He's communicating with you to help you understand who you are so that you don't lose that as you're surrendering to the will of God. This is part one of two. And in these two parts, we're not going to talk about the filling. We're going to talk about that as its own thing. Because that's a whole other deal. It's exciting stuff. Don't miss what God has for you. That's what I care about. Don't miss it. Because it's coming in an hour. There's something that God has for us in an hour. Don't miss it. It's coming. I've been with this one page, drove me crazy. He would share Christ with everybody. No matter where we were, He found a way to bring it up. And I'm like, I'm just trying to get a hamburger. You're slowing down my hamburger. Isn't that terrible? Let's call it out. I told you I'm going to call it out on me too. Does my hamburger matter more than His salvation? No way! I should go hungry to make sure He knows Christ. That's the right answer. So I still think, guess who I'm talking about today? The guy who did it right. You know, he irritated me. He doesn't irritate me anymore. He's an example to me. I'm going to ask everybody to bow their head and close their eyes.